You see, you know I like jokes and things like that. I didn't know whether to start with a joke today. But anyway, I presumed that I wouldn't have an awful lot of time today with all the other things going on. But I've got time for a story. Now, this is a pertinent story. It's not a long story, but it is related to what we're talking today about, which on your front of your programs you'll see is culture, kingdom culture. And I want to talk a little bit about that and explore that with us together this morning. But as Stuart was reminding us before Christmas, you know, we did bang on a little bit about money because we don't want to cut back, do we, in this new year? Do you? Do you want to see our work and our things going, cutting back? We don't. We want to see things growing, don't we? We want to see our influence in our community more and more impactful. We want to be developing things. Before Christmas, I mentioned to you about the idea of maybe developing that shed into something for the community, which is for maybe people who are isolated, people who are lonely. Now, we've had a few more thoughts about that. I haven't got time today to talk you into that one there, but it's not something that we've forgotten about. In fact, it's something that we've thought a lot about. And as we've mentioned it to other people in the local community, they're excited as well. So you will be hearing about that over the next month or so. And if any of you are interested in being part of that, what we're basically idea is of trying to put together some kind of, for want of a better word, a tool shed, a place where people can build things, make things, but more importantly, connect with other human beings. Because believe it or not, although we're part of a great community here, there are people, probably 50, 100 people within 200 yards of our church who have no friends at all, who are isolated, who are lonely, who have no way of communicating with other people. It's true, isn't it? You perhaps know a couple of those people. And we want to impact those this year. We want people to feel as though they can belong to something and someone and be part of us here. That's why things like the Coffee Morning Plus, that's why Duncan's Lunch Club and things like that are so important. It's a way of connecting with people and people becoming belonging to something. Belonging to a person, belonging to a relationship. You will hear some more about that. So we don't want to be cutting back on things. That's why money is important. We don't like to talk too much about money, but it does need to be said. We do need more money so we can grow and develop and not cut back. We don't want to be cutting back things. Now, before Christmas, there were a few emails. They weren't sent around generally around church, but there was a few emails going around, and you know we were in a little bit of a tight spot before Christmas, and one of the emails that went around was mentioning specifically that we desperately needed at least £3,000, otherwise we were going to just be in a little bit of a mess. And I'm not, no word of a lie, Eva opened up the accounts that morning and somebody had donated. I don't know who it was, maybe somebody here, maybe somebody outside of our community, whatever, but somebody had put into our account £3,000 exactly. Isn't that wonderful? Before we ask, he knows, doesn't he? He still wants us to ask. He still wants us to be part of that journey. It's not just a question. God loves us to be involved in what's going on. Do you realize that yet? It's not about God just sort of coming down in power and bang doing things and bang doing things. What God loves to do is to take you and me and be part of that journey. Even if sometimes we screw up and mess up and make mistakes and things, he'd much rather use us to do the stuff than just sort of somehow point his finger down and bang, something happens. I told you that story because it's about culture. Because it's a culture of expectancy. It's a culture of thinking, you know what? God is working here. And what we want to do is to develop that culture more and more. Now, culture's a funny thing. I don't know whether you think about culture much. Obviously, there's ways in which we think about high culture, art and music and all those kind of things. But culture is very much a broad thing. I mean, just stop for a second. Let me ask you that question just in your mind. You don't need to answer it out loud. But if you looked up a dictionary now and it said, what is culture? What would you find there? What kind of words or what kind of idea comes to your mind when we talk about culture? What kind of words? Yogurt. That wasn't one of the words that came to my mind when I was thinking about culture, but fair enough. I get where you're coming from on that one. I love you, Carol. Culture. Yes. That is it. There's loads of things you could talk about. You could talk about patterns of human knowledge, people's beliefs, people's behavior. Different people groups have different outlooks, different attitudes, different values, different morals, different goals, different customs, different traditions, different rituals. All of those things come into culture. But at the end of the day, if you just had to have some little pithy saying of, say, what is culture? Peter's hit the nail on the head there. It's the way we do it here. Or the way they do it there. Because the way they do things in China is different than the way they do things in America. Have you noticed that? The way they do things in Iran and Iraq is different to the way they do things in Washington. Have you noticed that? That's why foreign ambassadors are such important people. Because when they go and live in a foreign country, a different country with different customs and different culture, it's really important that they know that and understand how that country ticks and how that country thinks and feels and behaves. Otherwise, we're never going to have relationships with people that work and that are positive. Culture is about how we do things. Now let's just take a step back for a moment. How do we do things here? What is our culture here in Hesketh Bank Christian Center? Just have a little think for a minute. One of the ways which might help you to think of important parts of our culture is just think for a second about people around you here. They might be here today, they might not be, but people who are connected with our family and our community here. Who are the people here in this community who you admire, for want of a better word? People you think, wow, you know what? That's some person there. I love the way they do that. Or I love their attitude to this. Or, you know, maybe you can think of two or three people when you just think around this room here. You think, you know what, I'd love to be like them. Conversely, this is a little bit more tricky. Think of the people who really get up your nose here. Was that easier? No, of course it wasn't. No, I shouldn't say things like that. I'm being a bit provocative there, but let's start there, though, the negative. Maybe sometimes, you know, you think, oh, you know what? They drive me crazy, those. I find it hard to get on with them, or I find it hard to relate to them. Or think, why is that sometimes? Here's some suggestions. Maybe it's because it's always about them. Me, 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 me. It's always about their life, about their moaning, about their health, about their situation. It's always focused on them. Do you see what I'm saying? Me, 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 me. Maybe that's what sort of rubs up for you. Maybe they're people who criticize quite freely, but they very rarely contribute to something. You know, we all find that probably the easiest thing to do. Well, it's always easier to criticize than to contribute. Perhaps they don't value people the same way that you do in the wider community. Perhaps they're people who generally they like to be served rather than to be the servers. Maybe that's what rubs us up a little bit. Now let's think about the people who you think here, wow, you know what? They're great. They're great, those people there. Why? Why are they great? What is it about their lives that you think, you know what, they're wonderful. I love working with them. I love meeting them. Maybe it's because they serve so selflessly. It's not always about them. It's about others. Maybe they're really generous, not just with physical things, but also maybe with their time and their energy. You always know that you can turn to them for support. Maybe they're considerate about other people's feelings, other people's situations. Maybe you admire them because they're a make things happen kind of person. Do you know what I mean? You give them a job to do, bang, it's done. Yeah? They make things happen. They're a make things happen kind of person. See, all of that is to do with culture, isn't it? Now, whether we like it or not, every organization, has a culture, either intentionally or not. Every church has a culture, whether we appreciate it or not. And I want to just focus on that whole idea of kingdom culture today. Because when Jesus came, particularly in those chapters in Matthew 5, 6, 7, what we call the Sermon on the Hill, the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus had a lot to say about people's attitudes and about people's behavior and about the way they live, about culture, basically. And Jesus often rubbed up against the culture of his day because he was creating a different kind of culture, a different kind of kingdom. And it's important that as a community, we can identify and we get on board with what that culture is. Is that right? So that we're all together on the same page. I mean, just in terms of that, in order to perhaps think about how we promote, how we encourage our own culture and develop a Jesus culture, you know, it is important that we understand the culture in which we live as well. And can I just encourage you to pay attention to that? Some of us sometimes live in such a bubble that we're so unaware of what is going on in our society. You know, we can't influence the society around us and the culture of society unless we understand it. Particularly as we get older, you know, we sometimes just lose connection with children, with teenagers, with young adults about what is important in their lives and what is going on in their lives and what they're facing either at work or at school or at home. It's important that we keep relevant and keep in touch. That's why it's important to read. It's important to read the newspapers. I know that they're politically biased. I understand that. I'm not naive in that way. But, you know, find out information. Find out about what is going on in our society and our culture and the way people think and the way they tick. I think some of us now have been sort of embedded in church. Well, I've been embedded in church for nearly 61 years now. Sometimes you lose that understanding of what actually people think nowadays, what they actually believe in society. So can I encourage us all this year just to take more time maybe to explore our culture, explore our context, understand, even just around here, understand, like we were saying before, about what kind of people do live on our doorstep? What kind of community do we live in here? What is going on in our community? You know, to do with alcohol, to do with drugs, to do with crime, all these kind of things as well. What is going on around us here? It's interesting that the French term, it comes from the Latin, for the word culture is colère. And it means to tend the earth. It means to cultivate, to grow, to nurture. And that's what we're about, isn't it? That's what our culture needs to be about. It's about tending the community in which we are here, nurturing, cultivating, growing things. I love that idea, actually, because we live very much in a growing community, don't we? That's part of our fabric here in our society that we live in, is about growing, it's about developing things, and that's lovely, and that's what we want to be about as well as a church. So it's very, very important how we do life, how we do this culture. If our culture here is healthy, then things will grow. Things will be good. You will want to come through those doors during the week and on a Sunday, and you'll be excited about coming here because you think, wonder what's going to happen this month. I wonder what's going to happen this year in our culture here. Because if we've got a culture that thrives like that, then people will grow and develop. We'll become attractive, more and more attractive to the community, and more fully accomplish our purposes to bring in the Jesus kingdom. It does take time. You know, when we identify things that perhaps are weak in our culture or missing in our culture, you don't just change culture overnight. And so some of these things that I might be talking about today, we might be revisiting, because sometimes you need that repetition in order to build up that understanding of culture and for us to get on board with these things. How are we doing? 10 minutes to go. See, words frame culture. And in a moment, I'm going to give you 5 words. They're not the end of everything. They're not the end of things. But over the last, I've been thinking about these things now probably for about 6 to 8 months. And in my reading and in my bit of research that I've done, I keep coming back to these five words that I'm going to give you in a moment. They're not exhaustive. There are other words that you might want to use, but I think for me they are helpful in shaping the way that we think about how we can develop our own culture here. And these words are important because words do frame culture. Everything that we speak, every word that we say has benefits and it also has baggage with it. I mean, if I use words like, say for example, what do you think of if I use the word crusade? Campaign, another word, yeah. I mean, did you think about the Middle Ages or did you think about the Knights Templars and things? What did you think of, Carol, when I said crusade? Don't I? No. Okay, that's fair enough. It wasn't yogurt, was it? No. Unnecessary killing of vast numbers of Muslims and children. Now, some of you didn't think about that, did you? You might have thought about 40 years ago when we used to go around this area with tents and minibuses and big loudspeakers and things like that, maybe? Rosalind, is that what you thought of? For one thing. Billy, yeah, Manchester. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? Probably, I know, Winifred, for you, Billy Graham, Manchester, Crusade. That's a positive in your mind. For Carol, she hears the word crusade, killing of Muslims and children. You think, that's a bit negative, don't you? So, you see, words can shape things, can't they? And sometimes words to you might mean something to different people and things like that. Committee. What do you think of when you use the word committee? Sorry? Rambling. Wrangling, you like fighting and that kind of thing. That's interesting, isn't it? See, some of us think of committees as being positive things. Some of us think, blimey, heck, we don't want a committee. Last thing we want is a committee. Let's just get on with it. What about choir? Harmony. Hey, weren't the choir good at Christmas? We had two lovely choirs, didn't we? We had the Benediction Choir, who were beautiful for that Friday night. And then on the carol service, we had others joining in, that sort of pop-up choir, as we call it. They were fantastic, weren't they? Really good. I mean, I'd love to see them popping up a little bit more this year, wouldn't you? We don't want to wait till next Christmas before we pop up again. So whoever's popping up that group... choir, yes, funny, isn't it? It reminds me of just a little joke here. You know, that thing on the outside of a church, you know, come and hear tonight's message. What is hell? Come early and listen to the choir. You got that? Some of you are not there yet, are you? What is hell? Come early and listen to the choir. You see, words frame culture. Let's get on to these words. So here's five words that I think will help us in our development of our culture this year, and I think are important. I want you to go away and think about these things. I don't want you to just forget about this message today, because I think these five words are foundational to our culture this year. That's how important they are, I think. First one, and we'll go through these now. Honor. What is it? Yeah, I want you to remember these five words after today. First one, honor. What is it? Honoring God in all that we do. Seek first the kingdom. That's another way of putting that, isn't it, that we've talked about in the past. But also honoring each other. Honoring God and honoring each other. What does that look like? Well, just to start with is speaking well of each other. You see, you and I basically make mistakes, don't we? If we're living our lives as we normally do, there's always going to be things that you could point out and say, well, they didn't do that very well, or that was a little bit, yeah, not quite so good and things. And then you hear a bit of gossip about somebody or a bit, you know, about their children at school, or, oh, did you hear about this and that? And before you know it, we're speaking not very well of each other. And I think one of the things that we need to watch out for this year and develop more is to speak well of each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you hear a little bit of tittle-tattle, a little bit of gossip or something, you say, "Whoa, hang on a minute, just that's not what I know about that person." You know, you might have a point there, you might have some, but that's not what I know about them. I know them to be this kind of person. You know, and speak well of each other. Recognize the true value of each other's lives, the gifts that we have, the skills that we have, the abilities that we have, and help fan those things into flame. Encourage each other, in other words. That's what I mean when I say honor. Honoring God and honoring each other. It's just so easy, isn't it, in a community like this where we all have different skills and abilities, to become a little bit jealous and a little bit resentful sometimes. They're always doing this, or they're doing that, or they're always on the platform and I'm not on there, and they're always being asked to do this and I'm not, and things like this. And it's very, very easy, particularly when you feel as though you've been overlooked for things, to become a little bit jealous and a bit resentful. Now watch that, work through it. You know, sometimes you actually need to be honest with people and say, "Look, hey, listen, I'd love to be involved in that. Have you not thought about me doing that?" "Oh, well, no, we haven't actually. I'm sorry about that." And, you know, we can just have a little bit of openness about that. So honor, honoring God, honoring each other, speaking well of each other. Number two, authenticity. Yeah, some of you had to put your false teeth in for that one, didn't you? Authenticity. So the first one, honor. Two, authenticity. You're not keen on that word, are you? Authenticity. What do I mean by that? I mean people who are sincere, honest, open. It comes back as well to being open to our wider culture. If we're going to be authentic in here, we must be also authentic out there. We must be real. We must be open. We must be honest and transparent. That's what I mean by authenticity there. And well, this is what I mean as well. Listen to me here. It's okay to be not okay. Those of us who went to Naturally Supernatural last year to the conference, that was one of the things that Mike Pilavachi often would say. It's okay to be not okay. Do you get that? Because sometimes when you're in a community like this, you feel as though you've always got to have it together. You've always got to be on top of things. You've always got to, you know, be surfing on top of the waves rather than glugging underneath and trying to swim. But the reality is many of us often live life like that. We wake up in the morning and it's dark, it's dismal, we're not sure how we're going to face the day, we don't know how we're going to survive. And it's important that we're authentic with each other and we're real with each other. How are you today? "I'm fine." But inside you're crying. Now, it doesn't mean you go around and tell every single person you meet your problems. You can't do that. That's not real either. But you do need, if you don't have a friend yet in church who you can trust, who you can be honest and open with about your lives, find one this year, because it's really important to be authentic with at least one person. And it's also okay, it's a good phrase, it's okay to be not okay, but here's another one. It's also okay to say, "I don't know." We've always got to feel as though we've got the answer to everything, don't we? What should I do about this? "I don't know." You know, particularly when you're leaders and things like that, people are always coming to you. "You know, I've got a problem with this, I've got a problem with that. You know, what do you think I should do?" "I don't know." "I really don't know." You know, and it's okay to say, "I don't know." Do you understand that? I find that very releasing and very empowering to realize that I haven't got the answer to everything. That's why we need each other. It's okay to be not okay, and it's okay to say, "I don't know." Number one. Number two. Number three, acceptance. In other words, basically a safe place where you can be authentic. Do you get that? Because trying to be authentic, trying to be open, means that you're vulnerable, isn't it? It makes you vulnerable when you tell people about things. And in order to be vulnerable, you need to have the confidence that when you tell people things, they are going to still accept you. There are lots of things I could tell you about my life over the last 61 years, and some of them would shock you. Now, I'm not going to do that publicly from here, but you need to be in a position where at least you can tell some people your life, because if you just keep everything hidden and everything locked up, that will damage you. But in order to be authentic and to be real and open, you must have a confidence that people are going to accept you for who you are. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying accept. How do I put this? You know, well, I'm always rude. That's the way I am. I always speak my mind and blah, blah, blah. And we say, oh, yeah, well, we accept you for that. No. We're not accepting rudeness. We're not accepting selfishness. We're not accepting things. If those things are part of our life, then they need to be challenged gently, don't they? But if people are going to be real, I think you know what I'm saying here. If people are going to be real and open and authentic, you must have a place where you can accept them. That is the way that then they can thrive. Honor, authenticity, acceptance. Two more to go. Generosity. Now, we touched on that a little bit before Christmas, but we need to keep encouraging each other to sacrifice, to be generous, and to serve others out of grateful hearts. Now, that includes caring for others, but it also includes opening your home. Many, many of us here have some wonderful homes, and you have them very open to everybody else, and people love you for that. Being hospitable is a gift, and many of you have that gift. Thank you for all that you do with your homes. But generosity often as well springs from the importance of relationships. And it's when you have that first one, you honor each other, then, and you honor the relationships that you have with each other, then that will encourage you to be even more generous. And finally, courage. So honor, authenticity. What was the third one? Acceptance, fourth one, generosity, and the last one, courage. Having a go, risk-taking, being brave. There we go, 30 minutes. Having a go, risk-taking, being brave, the ability to achieve so much more than we thought we could. Courage involves as well being willing to fail. Now, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it's a good little golden nugget, this one. If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing. No. Yeah, sometimes you think, am I a good communicator or not? The answer is no, I'm not. I'm useless. It was what, a long time ago? What, 6 months? If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. You see, yeah, perhaps you weren't here. Put your hand up if you weren't here. Yeah, you're lying to me now. It says here, honest and open. You're not being honest with me. if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. You say, what are you talking about? That wasn't what was drilled into me when I was a kid. No, what was drilled into you when you were a kid was a lie. If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing, isn't it? If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing. Whether you do it badly or not, or whether you do it well, it doesn't change the fact that it was worth doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you have that attitude, if something is worth doing, and you think, well, I'm going to have a go. I might fail. I might fall flat on my face. But if it's worth doing, I'm going to give it a go. Do you understand that? This is the difference between religion and relationship. Let me just close with these couple of ideas here. This is the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is about perfection. Religion is about always wanting to be perfect. And that sense that somehow we need to try and match up to God's perfection. He is holy, so I need to be holy. Now, I'm not contradicting the Bible or anything like that, but if you go down that route without understanding actually what you're talking about there, you will never, ever be happy in your lives because you will always be living in a sense of failure. Because none of us here are ever going to be perfect. Do you understand that? Not until we meet Jesus face to face. And if you constantly live under that stupid expectation that somehow you can be perfect, then that is what feeds mainstream religion, mainstream Catholicism and Church of England and all a lot as well of free church stuff, that somehow you're always striving for perfection. That is religion. It's not out of a relationship with Jesus. The relationship with Jesus is about excellence. Now, there's a difference between those two. Do you understand that? Do you see what I'm saying here? It's not about striving for perfection. It's about striving for excellence. If you're going to do a job, we want to do it the best we possibly can, don't we? If we're going to put Narnia on, we want it to be where people come and they go, wow, that was good. That was excellent, that. And you know what? 1,200 people, I think, more or less, came through Narnia and they thought, blow me, that was good. And when they come into our tool shed this year, I want them to come in and think, you know what? This is brilliant. This is excellent. When they come in and they hear our worship, you know, was it perfect this morning? Was it egg? You know, you might not be a musician, but we were far from perfect this morning. Grace was perfect. She's got a lovely voice, hasn't she? Those, do you not think those three girls sounded fantastic together? They are wonderful, aren't they? Was the band perfect? No. Were we striving to be the best that we could be? Hopefully. Do you see the difference? Striving to be the best, because it's as unto Jesus, isn't it? Are you putting the chairs out this morning? You're not doing it for me and you, and so you're doing it as unto the Lord, aren't you? You making the tea and the coffee, you're sweeping up, you're tidying up, you're on the door welcoming people. You're looking around for people who are on their own or need some help. You're not doing it just for you and them. You're doing it as unto Jesus, aren't you? And when you've got that attitude, you know, I'm doing my best and I'm doing it to be as excellent as I can. That's not religion. That's about relationship with God and about that confidence that we have, as Grace sung before, the goodness of God is the foundation of our lives. It's not whether we can strive to be perfect or not, because we will never be this side of heaven. But we can strive for excellence. We can strive to be the best that we can be in his power and goodness. So five key words there that I think will help shape our culture together. It's not completely comprehensive or exhaustive, but I want you to think about those five words. I want you to pray about them as well during this week, maybe on your daily prayer time. Just take one of those words each day and think, honor. Lord, how can I best honor you in my life, at work, at school, at home? How can I honor other people? How can I speak better of other people in our fellowship and our community here? And go through those words, honor, authenticity, acceptance. Very good. Generosity and courage. Why don't you step out this year? You know, there's a little line here and it says, oh, it's a bit risky to step over there. Some of us just need to step over there this year and think, oh, I feel a little bit insecure, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Do something a bit extra this year, something a bit different, and step out, yeah, in the knowledge that you'll be accepted by people still, even if you fail. Yeah? Does all that make sense? Sorry, it's a sort of bit rumbled and jambled. But it's about Jesus' culture. It's about that relationship with Jesus transforming our lives. Linda next week is going to pick up on that a bit more. And about our minds being need to be transformed into his image in order to bring this lovely Jesus culture amongst us more. We've got lots of it. We have. We've got a lovely group here, haven't we? But what we want to do, we just want to see more of it. We want to see it prosper more and more. And we can all be part of that, can't we? Linda, come up and lead us in communion. Band, could you come back up on the stage and we'll sing a song.